The Maze Fink and Adonic, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing and Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Dunnick, Derek Mason, and Adam Vingan here with you on a Friday. Take It to the Bank coming up at 1:45. But before we get to that, we did have a texter, Jay from Laverne, on our text line. He asked this during Ask D-Mates, and it was appropriate because we were going to talk about it anyway. But he asked us, well, he specifically asked Derek, what he thinks of this Jeff Fisher rumor that Jared talked about yesterday. And then I thought to myself, what rumor is he referring to? So yesterday, Jared came on the air. Well, it wasn't his first segment. It was, I believe his 3 o'clock hour. And said that he had heard a rumor from someone who's well-connected that Jeff Fisher is angling for the Titans general manager position. Jeff Fisher was on Chase and Big Joe recently. Chase asked Jeff Fisher if he would be interested in rejoining the Titans in some capacity. This is what Jeff Fisher said.
If that phone call ever came or has come, is that something at this point in your career you would be interested in?
Well, I would never rule out anything. I'm enjoying what I'm doing right now. You know, and that includes some things I haven't been able to do over the last 20 or 30 years, the grandkids, and especially enjoying Nashville and the people that I interact with every day. But if they want some help, you know, they got my number. But I believe that, you know, they've got a good group put together now. These are tough times, especially as you're staring, the prospects of a new stadium and the future, right between the eyes. But I'm open to anything. People have a tendency to, they chase their memories back to the good old days when, when things were good and you're competing every year, you're competitive and you're rebuilding teams and, you're staying up there. And we did that for a long time. And I think there's good things ahead. I just hope that this group, I don't want to call it administration, but that they're given time because, it seems like, and you guys can talk about this, I'm sure you talk about it all the time. I mean, somebody lose 4 or 5 games in a row, the head coach is gone. I mean, the Bears fire an offensive coordinator. And what did he do? Overnight, he forgot how to call plays?
That was Jeff Fisher recently on the Chase and Big Joe show when asked by Chase if he would have interest in helping out the Titans in any capacity. So I guess the rumor that Jared was hearing was that Jeff Fisher is trying to get into the GM's office. I don't think any of us really believe that's going to happen. Now, I will say this. I did not live through the Jeff Fisher era in Tennessee. That was before my time here in Nashville. So, I mean, I'm aware of Jeff Fisher. I know that he was the king of going 8-8 or 9-7. But I don't really know much about the inner workings and his relationship with Floyd. I've heard what Jared has said. I know that Jared is biased in this argument. So I don't know a lot about that. But, Willie, when we were talking about this a little bit yesterday and also before we came back on, the idea of Jeff Fisher being a part of the Titans organization in some form wasn't a completely bewildering idea to you.
And I think that's where we need to make a distinction here. If Jared's rumor, I was not able to hear what Jared said about the, quote, angling for the GM job. I think we have to be realistic. Jeff Fisher, I don't believe at this point in his career will be hired as an NFL GM by anybody. I don't think that is realistic. Now, let's put that aside. So I don't know what Jared heard, what his source is or anything. I am a big fan of Jeff Fisher. I would go out on a limb and say there is a 0% chance that he would ever be hired. And first of all, they have a GM.
Yes.
They have a GM that Jeff Fisher endorsed, came on this show, this particular show, and said, Rand Carthon was with me in Los Angeles I am a big fan of Rand Carthon. So if he's angling to be the next GM, he would be going around the guy that is only in his second year of being the GM. I don't think that – it doesn't add up to me, but that's that. Now let's get to something we discussed last week while I was in probably Edmonton, I think. The day we discussed speaking to the fans.
Uh-huh.
Amy Adams doesn't like doing that. Would we all agree? She doesn't,
yeah.
Doesn't
yes.
feel she's good at it, not comfortable doing it, not doesn't do it very often. And you have Rand Carthon, who I think could be potentially very good at using the media to speak to the fans. But it is something he clearly is not super comfortable doing, doesn't do it. Doesn't do
we
it.
We hope to hear from him after the NFL trade deadline.
And we did.
He doesn't do it. Despite my squawking and saying, Rand, come on, help yourself, buy yourself some time. But you know who was great at that?
Jeff.
Jeff Fisher. And Floyd Reese, by the way. But Jeff Fisher can connect with the fans. That is where the Titans could use him in a big way. And I can't believe they haven't already done it. He's been in Nashville for a few years now. Mm-hmm. I think, and he touched on it, you got a new stadium. You're asking astronomical prices for these PSLs. Astronomical!
Yeah.
Ask anybody. I don't know whether people tell me they're selling them. Okay. I don't know who's buying them. But I know a lot of fans who have been there since day one that look at that price and say, sorry. I'm either going something way lower in a different part of the stadium than I've sat for years and years, mm-hmm. or I'm out. That's going to be a problem one way or the other. You need somebody who can hearken and connect people back to those days with Steve McNair, with Derek Mason, with Blaine Bishop, with Eddie George. That is a meaningful thing. I watch it with the Mets every time they do a broadcast. They've got Keith Hernandez and Ron Darling. Mm-hmm. on there as great ambassadors for the team that connects you back to good things even when the team is struggling. They are struggling right now. They could use a tremendous ambassador. An ambassador can mean a lot of things. Mm-hmm. And you brought up something, D-Mace, I hadn't even thought about. Maybe he's not the GM, but would he be the worst guy to sit in a room and listen in on football discussions and mm-hmm. be a consultant there? That would be great. But what he's doing is he could back up what they're selling. He could help Rand Carthon develop his ability to sell to the fan base. Buy yourself some time. This is an art form. This is a valuable tool that every organization needs, and the Titans, quite honestly, have lacked big time since those days.
To me, I think Jeff would be great at that part, Willie. Being a GM, he's been out of the game, 8-9 years now?
I believe he was let go by the Rams in 2016.
Yeah, so he's been out of it for a minute, but that doesn't mean he doesn't know what's going on, in a sense, because I'm sure, you know, he's kept his ear to the ground. You know, he's talked with people, so I'm not going to say he's just out of the loop, because I think he still is. But, I mean, he basically told you with the clip we played, listen, you need to give people time to sort of work out of some difficulties, especially if you know where the franchise or the roster was prior to taking that position. Then you need to give them opportunity and time to work themselves out of it. This is what I think is truly missing with this. And you hit on it, Willie, like just being a spokesperson. An ambassador for the team. You don't know how many times people come up to me and say, man, we just don't know these guys or this team like we used to, like when you guys were playing. It's just, I don't know what it is, but these, it's just different. They just seem sort of standoffish. Or they don't, you know, they're not like they were when you guys first came in that whole run with you guys. And I understand what they're saying, but things change and things evolve, and organizations tend to sort of, you know, want to hide things and keep things close to the vest now more than any time that I've seen in professional sports. But they're not doing themselves a disservice by doing that. If you because you're in a position. It's not like, see, Bill Belichick can get away with stuff like that. And when he was the GM and head coach, or Scott Pioli when he was the GM, you know why they can get away with it? Because they were winning. They were winning championships. So you can get away with being that a-hole in a sense. You can get away with it. Because why? We're winning Super Bowls. What more do y'all want? We're giving y'all what y'all want. So if I don't talk to the media all the time, or if I don't give y'all what y'all want, y'all shouldn't be disappointed. Why? Because we're winning football games.
That was, on a somewhat related note, that was absolutely the deal with Mike Vrabel.
Uh-huh.
When the Titans were winning and Mike Vrabel was being gruff.
I would agree.
It was like, okay.
And the same thing with Peter Laviolette. Peter Laviolette was a gruff individual, to say the least.
But when you're winning.
When you're winning, you'll put up with it. But as the Titans started to lose and Mike Vrabel was being himself, it didn't register the same way.
It wore on people after a while. So the Titans are in this sort of peculiar sort of position, in a sense where, listen, it can go either way. But it depends on how y'all move going forward. You need to be talking to the fan base as much as you possibly can right now. You're not winning a damn football game. You're building a new stadium, and you ain't talking to the fan base? The GM is not out there, hey, listen, I know things are going bad, but we're going to be all right. Just reiterating, we're doing the job. We're going to be all right. If we got to be out there once a week, this is what we're going to have to do. Or once a month, this is what we're going to have to do. But it's been cricket, and y'all are not winning. That's the part that I don't understand. Y'all are not winning. That's like Barry all of a sudden saying, you know what, I'm not doing the every weekly with 102.5 anymore, and they're not winning. The fan base ain't going to stand for that after a while. They're like, listen, y'all not winning. Tell us. Give us encouragement. Make us feel a certain way so we can hang on a little longer.
Barry Trotz and Jeff Fisher came to Nashville almost exactly the same time, right? And what did they do with Nashville being a brand new major league market?
They opened themselves up and they welcomed Nashville in.
The word is connected.
Exactly.
They connected. And is there a reason why they both lasted about 15 years in their job?
Because they bought a lot of equity.
They bought equity. They connected with the fans. The fans saw them as more than just the coach that has lost X games and won X games. You buy yourself some time. It can still be done. And the Titans, look, this is just from where I sit, this is what I see. I think they've lost the connection a lot.
Mm-hmm. No, they are. It's not. I'm telling you from what I hear.
Yeah, it comes off as we're the NFL. You should be grateful that we're here in your city. We got a new stadium. Great. I mean, there's an assumption that, new stadium, people will buy tickets. I don't know that you can. I don't think that's the best way to go. Maybe you can in the NFL. It's the one league where maybe you don't have to hustle. I saw the NHL in the early days with the Predators. They knew from day one, before they ever played a game, we're going to have to hustle to get people to come watch hockey in this city. And they were out hustling the Titans for a long time. But the Titans made up for it once the new stadium opened. Mm-hmm. And they had ambassadors like Floyd and like Jeff, who they understood, we got to find a way to connect. Mm-hmm. These fans have been watching the Houston Oilers, they've been watching the Tennessee Oilers. We've gone to all these different stadiums. We've got to find a way to get this fan base engaged. They took that on and did a tremendous job.
But they've lost it. It's almost as if they feel, you're going to buy the tickets anyway. And stop just talking to potential PSL holders or men and women and families that were just PSL holders. Stop just talking to those people, okay? Talk to everybody, the whole fan base. Don't just try to get them in there to buy tickets and talk to the people that already had tickets, the PSL. Talk to everybody, because that's what they want to hear. The person that's working at the grocery store that loves your team, they want to hear, why should I continue to hold on? Why Why should I continue to watch you on a Sunday or a Monday or a Thursday? Talk to those people. Talk to those people that are working, you know, 40 hours a week, you know, and still buying tickets to come to your stadium. Talk to those people, those hard-working people that scratch and claw to try to get into your stadium, try to save up enough to get into your stadium. Talk to those people. Don't just talk to the people that can pay for it, the people that has disposable cash, that can pay for the PSL. Talk to everybody. Get out there. And for some strange reason, y'all lose it, and y'all still ain't trying to talk to the fan base other than when y'all have these sort of little things to try to get the fans in to buy some tickets. Damn buying tickets. Talk to the fan base, period. Let them know we're going to be good. Hang in with us. Don't just do it, you know, once or twice a year. The fan base is – they're looking for – they want you to do it. They're begging you to do it.
It wouldn't take much, really.
Exactly. It wouldn't take much.
They want to love the team.
Exactly, but
it's almost like – this is football in the South. They want to love the team.
We're seeing ran out when we want to, once a year or twice a year. Oh, when we fire a head coach, oh, we're seeing – the owner won't talk. We're seeing ran out. When we fire, you know, this guy, we're sending the head coach out. When we fire the GM, we're sending the head coach out. The owner ain't going to address it right then and there as much as – Amy has done a wonderful job with this organization since she's taken over. But when you have instances like that, the fan base is looking like you fired the coach, you didn't say anything as an owner the day it happened. You know, you fired a GM, you didn't say anything the day that it happened. Stuff like that, fans, they remember things, especially when you're not winning. So the Titans need to recognize, maybe they do recognize that. Maybe they don't care, I don't know. But stop being politicians. Okay, every 4 years, then you every 3.5 or 3 years, then you want to come start talking to people. Why? So they can vote for you or so they can get in that stadium. Start talking to them every day, especially while you're losing.
615-737-1025. What are your thoughts on Jeff Fisher playing a role of some sort with the Titans, perhaps being a conduit between the front office and the fans? Because as we know, nostalgia, it's a powerful thing. And Jeff Fisher does give a lot of people the warm and fuzzies. So what do you think about Jeff Fisher?
Well, think about Terry Crisp, too. When he goes back to Philadelphia, the Broad Street Bullies, it carries weight. He can go anywhere. He's a Broad Street. They know him.
Yes.
He hasn't lived in that town for 50 years, maybe. I don't know when they moved from Philadelphia. 1976, he stop playing?
To be fair, Terry Crisp is the kind of person that can become the mayor of a city
yes.
just by
anyway.
Visiting for the
he's
first
the mayor
time.
Of about 12 cities. There's
exactly.
no question.
And even ones he's never been to before.
And he's got
he
that
just
here.
He can just walk into a
he's
city like I want to be mayor.
Yes. Right? He is one of the greatest ambassadors I've ever seen for whatever he's pitching, but it's the game of hockey, right?
Yes.
And so he's got that. So when you have a guy like that, take advantage. I think Jeff Fisher's got some of that.
615-737-1025. We'll take your calls and texts on that. Coming up next, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063, The Game. D-Mays, Vingan, and Donick, 1025-1063, The Game. Talking Jeff Fisher. What year is this? But we're talking Jeff Fisher.
Did we go back in time?
Is it 2009 all over again?
Yes. I wish. I mean, how old was I in 2009? I was 20 at the time. Those were the days.
I was in elementary. I was in middle school, actually, 2009.
Mm. All right, youngin. Anyway, so we've got a couple of texts.
Yes.
So one texter says about Jeff Fisher, I believe it would be a good idea for Fisher to be an ambassador or an advisor for the Titans. He is similarly an advisor to Eddie George at TSU. And look at the turnaround they are having over on Jefferson Street. So that was one texter.
Good point.
Yeah.
There are two texters, Caleb and Matt, texted more or less the same thing. I'll read Caleb's. He says, the only hesitation I would have would be just because it feels right and all warm and fuzzy doesn't mean it would work. Look at Philip Fulmer going back as the AD at Tennessee. Dumpster fire.
But again, the specific role
it wouldn't
is
be the
not
same.
AD. Like yeah. that AD, that's work. You're not
yes.
just an ambassador waving and everything. I think ambassador is a catch-all for a lot of different things. Mm-hmm. And that's different than a GM or even athletic director.
Jeff Fisher, in this scenario, would not have any decision-making
no,
power on the Titans
that's
roster.
That's how I would view it. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean he can't
be consulted about
that
these
doesn't
things.
Mean he can't be a very good outside perspective, mm-hmm. confidant, of Rand Carthon, who he mentored to some degree, right? Mm-hmm. He already has a relationship. He's not just coming in going, hey, Rand.
Yeah.
Jeff Fisher here, man. Good to meet you. Let me just tell you a few things about football. They already have a relationship. Yeah. So that's a good sounding board. Well, this is what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about give him the keys to the to the organization. Yeah, that's a different thing.
You're not saying him being a GM or him calling the shots. It's just, okay, just to have another voice or somebody sort of that can see it from a different perspective. I mean, I would have thought the best, you know, for that position obviously would have been Floyd if he was still here, but he's not. He would have been perfect for a role like that.
I think, is it fair to say Floyd Reese was exactly that mm-hmm. for John Robinson?
Yeah.
Floyd and John had worked together in New England. Mm-hmm. Floyd, from the outside, even though he was doing a radio show, mm-hmm. I'm sure at times John Robinson could call Floyd and say, hey, what do you think of this? Mm-hmm. You know,
because they had worked together.
Just bouncing ideas off mm-hmm. each other. They had a relationship. Uh-huh.
The TSU example, I think, is interesting because Jeff Fisher was a senior advisor, I believe, in Eddie George's first season as coach.
I think that's right. Yeah, he helped him sort of get the program off.
Right, and look at TSU now.
Yeah, so, I mean, listen, I believe that Floyd would have been perfect for a situation like this. But I think Jeff, in this circumstance, would be great as well. Why? Because both guys came here at the same time. Both guys bought a lot of equity in this city. And, you know, when there were some lean years, even though we didn't have many when I was playing here, the fan base, because of what Floyd was doing, because of what Jeff was doing, it bought him some time. People still hung in there with him. So if you decide that you want Jeff Fisher to be involved in whatever type of way, then I think it would be good for the organization. I think it would be good to connect. Then you could start getting that connection back to the city that you had in prior years. Because right now, I'm not sure if that connection is there. I think there's a disconnect with the fan base and the team right
Rand
now.
Rand Carthon has no connection, as far as I know, with the Titans fan base. And that's by that might be his choice.
Yeah.
We've talked about this. He's only required to talk a handful of times per season as a general manager. And I remember, stick with me on this for a minute. When I was in, this may come as a shock to some of you, but when I was in ninth grade, my freshman year in high school, I was in the marching band at my school. I was a great
No surprise.
I was a great trombone player, by the way.
We could have been buddies.
I was right back there.
I played the tuba through the ninth grade. Okay. You and I could have been back row with the bass guys,
yes.
You know, the drummers. I love my crew.
Really play it, Willie, or did you just like, okay, I'm just going to play it low?
I was big time, man. I was good.
First chair all-city band, seventh grade,
yeah.
Trombone.
I was good. I had the sousaphone. I could be back there.
So I remember when my freshman year in high school, it was required if you were in the advanced band. There were two bands at the high school, and I was in the advanced band.
There you go.
If you were in the advanced band when I was a freshman, you were required to be in the marching band. My sophomore year, that changed I remember this very vividly, from required to highly recommended. And I went into the band director's office, and I said, I believe his name was, if I recall correctly, it was Mr. Wills. I said, Mr. Wills, if it's only highly recommended, I'm not doing it. And that's what I feel like with Rand Carthon. He's like, I'm only going to do what I am required to do. If it's highly recommended, only if it's required. And I think that especially now with how this team has been going, the fact that he did make a notable trade at the trade deadline, he traded DeAndre Hopkins, and we haven't heard a word from him. Like I think the idea of having someone like Jeff Fisher, who, as you've mentioned, Willie, is someone who has a relationship with Rand Carthon, who can serve as the go-between between the front office and the fan base. It is a person in Jeff Fisher.
And also the football operations
yes.
and the fan base.
Yes.
The football operations and the front office. These are connections that they need to make.
Right.
But, okay.
Yes. But my point is that Jeff Fisher has enough equity built into town that even if people aren't going to like what the front office and by extension Jeff Fisher is saying, it's coming from, it's being delivered by someone that they have good feelings about.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out if that is a good thing in regards to him having that sort of him having that leeway to talk on the franchise when you don't have a true job title for the franchise. If you're just an ambassador, it's kind of hard to say, well, yeah, you know, we decided to let this guy go because of yada, 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 whatever the case may be. You don't see that coming from a guy that's an ambassador.
How about Jeff Fisher, senior advisor, football operations?
He would have to have some title in order to sort of talk that way about the Titans, I believe.
Yeah, you have to be savvy how to do it. I've also learned over the years to not read into a title. Titles can mean a lot.
Right,
it can
that.
Mean whatever you want it to mean. It also can be very deceiving.
Mm-hmm.
But I agree with you, D-Mace. It would have to be – there'd be have to be a lot of trust, mm-hmm. right? That, okay, when your ambassador goes out there,
mm-hmm. yeah.
that he is in lockstep
with everybody.
With everybody,
mm-hmm.
which has not been an easy thing to do.
No.
When you have a group that doesn't always look like they're on the same page. Quite honestly.
Yeah. So, I mean, but I do believe this, that whether you like Rand, don't like him, whether you believe he should get another year or not get another year, I think he needs to be a little bit more vocal and visible in this time. Now, maybe he thinks I am vocal. I am visible. I am doing things, you know, interviews with the Tennessean. I am doing an interview, you know, with the great TD. Or I am, you know, coming on, you know, at the podium once a year, or you see me at the combine. Maybe he believes, okay, that's enough. I got a lot of other stuff that I have to do. I can't just be sitting in front of a television or in front of a camera, you know, every other week. But when you're in a situation like this, like, you don't pull no stops, should you? You shouldn't think, well, I'm too busy doing all this other stuff, which is probably stuff you need to be doing, and it's helpful to the organization, that you can't address when you trade a D-hop. You can't address when you traded a linebacker who you just got 3 weeks ago or 4 weeks ago. When you can't address the L'Jarius Sneed situation, or you are not addressing the Cheeto situation, where guys that you brought in haven't played. So as a GM, you need to be, especially if you're not winning and you haven't been winning and you're trying to buy some time here with the fan base, you haven't said anything about any of this. You hadn't said anything about D-Hop. You hadn't said anything about the linebacker that you brought in and then traded away.
Ernest Jones.
You didn't say anything about the two defensive backs that both are hurt.
Quandre Diggs.
Yeah, you didn't say anything about Quandre Diggs. You haven't said anything. And these are the guys that you brought in.
Sneed and Awuzie, yep.
Sneed, Awuzie,
Jamal Adams,
Diggs.
That whole thing.
Yeah.
Adams. All this stuff has happened, and you haven't said anything. But I'm sure you will address in, what, February at the Combine? But by then, fans are like, I don't want to hear that.
He'll talk at the end of the season when the Titans season is officially over. So we'll hear from him in January.
But then the fans are like, I don't want to hear
right,
it now.
Right,
you should have told us this 8 weeks ago. We should have talked about this 8 weeks ago.
Yes, I hear that.
I'm just saying, I mean, listen, I like Rand. And I think, you know, you give my opportunity to change this franchise around. But I don't think you're helping yourself when the fans are asking for you to talk and nobody's talking.
One quick note before we get to take it to the bank on the other side. The Predators are back in action tomorrow night against the Winnipeg Jets. According to Alex Darty of the Tennessean, there was an incident today between Michael McCarron and Luke Evangelista at practice.
Yes.
Darty writes, during a two-on-two drill near the end of practice, the two had to be separated following a physical altercation. No punches were thrown, but there was a shoving match between players after a hard hit during the drill.
Let's go skins and shirts on the ice. Let's do it. Skins and shirts.
If you wanted to see some fire from the Predators after their rough road trip, it wasn't a full-on fight. And by the way, I would put all of my money on Michael McCarron in a fight with Luke Evangelista. That might be Jake Paul, Mike Tyson-esque. You'll hear my prediction for that fight in the next segment. It did not go well. But if you're looking for a little fire from the Predators maybe some pushing and shoving. That's maybe not the worst thing in the world.
They need some more of that. Need some more pushing and shoving.
Something's got to give.
Yeah.
Need a spark.
Let's go shirts and skins, man. Put them out there on ice, shirts and skins.
I've seen that work before.
Let's go.
I've seen that work. Whatever version in your sport is the shirts and skins,
yeah,
I completely get it. Yeah, it works.
615-737-1025. We'll take it to the bank. Presented by F&M Bank. Coming up next, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063, The Game. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025-1063, The Game. Stoneman and Company coming up next at 2. But before we get to that, it's time to take it to the bank with our friends at F&M Bank, customer community. F&M Bank, banking made easy on purpose. I turn the floor to David James for a recap of our selections from last week.
Yes, yes, yes. Thank you. Thank you, Max. Max is in the studio with us today. So, boys, it was a pretty good week. You know, Adam, you had Levis was going to get sacked at least 4 times. Levis got sacked 5 times. So
sure did.
There you go. You got money from there. Let's see. The Vols did not cover. You said the Vols would cover against Georgia. That did not happen.
No.
And you said the Bills. This is actually pretty impressive. You said the Bills would hand the Chiefs their first loss of the season.
That's right.
Which, hey, that's impressive right there.
Now, don't read the last one.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, the last one, Tyson
you gotta
did
read
not
it.
Defeat
yeah.
Paul. You know,
I said that Mike Tyson would defeat Jake Paul by any means. That certainly did not happen. But
by
2 out of 4 ain't bad.
You must then read that contract they signed.
I guess not.
You cannot knock me out.
Ooh, 7 points. All right.
Which is a total of 67 total points.
All right. I'll take it.
Now, D-Mace, you said, let me think I can read this. So you said Braun would have his 4th triple-double, which that did happen.
Boom.
So you got points there. You also said the Cavs would extend their streak, which they did.
Yes, but they end up losing.
And they did lose, but hey, you know, you said, hey, that's all that matters. You only said it for that game against the Bulls.
Yep.
Now, the Titans defense did get 2 sacks, but they did not get an interception, and not one of those was from Tavondre Sweat, which you said that's who would get a sack.
Yes, I did.
So you got a total of, so I can do this math real quick, 8 points.
Okay, I'll take 8. Give me the eight.
A total of 57 total points out of all. Through all.
I like that. Come on, let's roll.
Now, Willie, you're doing really well for the past 2 weeks.
I'm coming on.
You got it. You said LSU would win by 3.5. That did not happen. You said, give me one.
I was impressed
moment.
With Florida.
Stall.
They did a good job.
He's stalling a little bit because
I totally forgot.
I had the Titans not
covering. Yes, you said the Titans, and you said the Bills would also beat.
I had the Bills over the Chiefs. And the points. They were a slight favorite. They won. I was really worried that Mahomes would pull a miracle at the end and go for 2, and they would cover.
He almost did.
He almost did. But
that was very close.
Bills got it done. So exactly. I was 2 out of 3.
You got a total of 6 points of 49 total points.
So I've got 6. I got 6. 7.
Well, I feel
Derek
like
got
I feel
8.
Like 7 should be.
Well, listen here, Buckaroo.
David's in charge.
I'm in charge.
I'm the boss here.
All right.
You were also a little late. You were also a little late.
How did you do this
week? I was
week,
a little
David,
late.
Last week.
There's only one that's worth talking about, and it's NWI touchdown. I mean, come on. Incredible, right?
It was a good touchdown.
Yes.
That was big.
Now, everything else, you know, the Jags did not cover against the Lions. That was really bad. That was a bad one. 62-7, I think.
That loss should have got
brutal.
Him fired.
52-6.
That loss should have got him fired.
Oh, 52-6.
Yeah.
I know this because I was forced to watch it in the Canadian hotel. Like, come on, people, change the game. Put another game on.
Man, oh, well.
So how many points did you give yourself this week?
You know, I gave myself only 3. I deserved it. I deserved 3 points.
Okay.
So we'll take
a
that.
A total of 41 points.
All right. Let's take it to the bank this week. I will start as I am the leader in the competition. Titans and Texans on Sunday. Joe Mixon will have at least 1 rushing touchdown and 75 rushing yards against the Titans. Joe Mixon playing very well for the Texans. So 1 rushing touchdown and at least 75 rushing yards against the Titans. We have a fabulous, in my opinion, Monday night football game. The Harbaugh Ravens and Chargers. Jim Harbaugh, coach of the Chargers, has never defeated his brother He's 0-2.
Go Ravens.
Against John. I say that changes. Jim Harbaugh gets his first win against his brother. I have the Chargers defeating the Ravens on Monday Night Football. I have two college football games here. Tennessee is a 40.5-point favorite against UTEP. They will not cover against UTEP. Ohio
you
State.
Did a little breakdown of the Miners film this week?
You think I can't say that I have. But I just have this feeling that Tennessee
it's all gut feeling.
Will not cover 40.5 points. And Ohio State will cover against Indiana. I have Ohio State minus 11.
Man, how many did you pick?
Four. I pick four every week.
All right, dude, you have no room. You like pick like 20.
One time you tried to pick like
six. Hey, this ain't about me. This ain't about me. We're talking about Adam, okay?
My bad.
Okay. The Titans, I'm going to start it off with this. The Titans, now that they're putting PT back over to the right side, they will give up at least three sacks in this game. I got Will Levis to throw for at least 200 yards. 200 yards may not sound like a lot, but it
for Will Levis,
it is a lot. Yes. Yeah, he eclipsed that last week, but we know prior to that, 35 plays, 100 yards, so he really wasn't getting the job done. But he threw over 250 yards. So there we go. We got the Titans three sacks. Will Levis to throw over 200 yards. And I have the Titans winning.
If that happens, I'll give you a six-pointer. That's a degree of difficulty beating the Houston Texans.
And last but not least,
I believe the Titans, by the way, are 1-9 against the spread this season.
1-9.
This is correct.
Okay.
But you're saying went outright.
Yeah, they went out. Not the spread. They went outright. All right. And then now I'm going to go to the NBA. Dallas and Denver. This is a big game. I got Dallas to win and Big Jokic will have a double-double for Denver.
I like that.
Yeah.
By the way, not
Dallas
only
win, Jokic has a double-double.
The Titans are the third team since 2000 to start 1-9 or worse against the spread, joining the 2012 Eagles and the 2007 Ravens.
I'm not really sure what the significance of that is. Like, you could actually be a good team and not cover a lot. So
that's true.
That's weird.
No. All right, Willie, you're up.
I will say I have watched a lot of bad Titans teams go down to Houston and not look good. Last year was one of those examples. They really didn't put up much of a fight. I'm not feeling it. I think the Texans will cover minus the 8.5. I'm concerned. I hope I'm wrong. I'm going to ride the Lions train. I don't think the Colts are very good. I think the Lions are going to run it right at the Colts and cover the 7. So I'll say Lions minus 7. And I'm going to go the opposite, which I guess I just went opposite of D-Mace on the Titans game. I'm going to go the opposite of Adam on the Indiana game. I was consulting with my Buckeye faithful. I got a lot of them up in Ohio. My dad grew up in Ohio. So I got a lot of aunts and uncles and cousins that are diehard. They watch the Buckeyes every week. They tell me that even in some lean years, Indiana always seems to give Ohio State a good fight. And I am also believing that Indiana is such an unknown. All these new players, it's sort of the stigma more than the actual talent differential. Ohio State lost their center, which has been an issue. So I think Indiana will cover against Ohio State. I think Ohio State will pull it out. I also watched Ohio State have a lot of trouble with Nebraska a few weeks ago at home. So at times they struggle to run. Give me the Hoosiers and the points. Ohio State will win but not cover.
All right, David?
I like that. So, Willie, I'm in agreement with you as well because I might have family from Ohio as well. My dad's from Ohio. And, you know, I just think this is the year for Indiana. And they will be saying to Ohio State fans, who's your daddy? So who's your daddy? It's going to be the Hoosiers are going to win.
The Hoosiers to win.
I think the Hoosiers will win. Yeah, I will.
Okay.
He's got even further than me.
Exactly. I have a feeling. I don't know why. I also think that Vandy's going to beat LSU. LSU's just been struggling a lot. I just think it's going to continue. I don't really have that much trust on that defense. I think Diego Pavia has done really well against poor run defenses, and so I think that the Vandy's going to win. I also believe that my beloved Baltimore Ravens are going to win against the Chargers, and Lamar Jackson's going to throw for 3 touchdowns on Monday night. Now here's another thing. Lamar has thrown has the most 3 touchdown performances in the NFL with 4. So, those are my picks.
So that's the norm for him. Throwing 3 touchdowns in a game.
I'm pulling for Jim. He's 0-2 in the Harbaugh. He's going to get to 1-2.
No, I'm still pulling for John.
Go Birds.
It should be a good game, though.
Yeah, it
looking
should
forward
be.
To that game.
The Chargers seem to be, you know, finding their groove.
So that game is in Los Angeles, by the way. That is Ravens at Chargers.
Nobody bit on the Predators, who, of course, that will be a big one tomorrow night. Let me just say one word. Win or lose tomorrow, and I know everybody's going to come in.
They better win.
Well, I know they're a little down on the team, the fans. It's going to be a great crowd. You know, it's the weekend before Thanksgiving. I know this is always it's Saturday night in Smashville, but they are going to honor David Poile and Shea Weber. Now, David Poile has been honored a number of times, his retirement, U.S. Hockey Hall of Fame. You know, there's been a few times that they have honored him, and rightfully so. But this will be the first time that Shea Weber gets a little bit more of the spotlight. And I believe this will happen, but I just want to remind fans, let's appreciate Shea Weber the way he deserves. Mm-hmm. Because he's not going to ask for it, right? He's going to probably go hide somewhere. Yeah.
Well, what do you think the over-under on tears shed from Shea Weber and David Poile on Saturday?
I don't know. Like, it's happened for David a few times. I know how special it was for them to get into the Hall of Fame, but I just think this is a great opportunity for the fan base. After he got traded, you know, he came back. It was a big thing when he played for Montreal. I think you were there that night, Adam,
indeed,
his
I was.
Return.
I went to Montreal before that to write a story about him coming back.
And because he hasn't played for a few years, but he's still technically a contracted player on LTIR for what team now?
Utah.
His contract's been about
to Utah?
3 provinces and 7
it's
states.
It's been traded a couple of times. It was traded from Montreal to Vegas and then Vegas to Utah, if I'm not mistaken.
He was there to honor Pecorine when his number was retired in the statue. And you could tell the fan base really wanted to thank Shea, but it was more about Pekka that night. So this is the chance to let it fly. So I want to see a special night, special atmosphere. And let's hope, D-Mace.
Got to get the win.
That gets the Predators going. Apparently practice was a little edgy today. That's a good sign. They need a jump start. They desperately need a jump start.
And Shea Weber, who just loves attention, will leave his body for a few minutes while all of us give him a round of applause. But yes, Predators and Jets tomorrow, a special 6 p.m. puck drop. Pregame at 5 right here at 102.5, 106.3. The game will be back on Monday. Willie will be in the great state of New Jersey with the Predators, but everybody have a wonderful weekend. Stillman & Company coming up next, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Be love on your people. Have a wonderful, blessed, and safe weekend. Peace.